Our text of Scripture is verse number 19 of Leviticus chapter number 5. Let me read that verse with you again. It says, "It is a trespass offering. He has certainly trespassed against the Lord." Our text here this morning mentions the trespass offering. This is the fifth and the final offering in these early chapters of the book of Leviticus. Now, some weeks ago we looked at the burnt offering that is found in Leviticus chapter 1, and that reminds us of Christ's great sacrifice for the salvation of his people. Leviticus chapter 2, we looked at that, and it records the meat offering. And we saw how that meat offering reminds us and highlights how the life of the believer is to be a life that is devoted to Christ. Also in Leviticus chapter 3, we looked there at the peace offering. And there we saw how every believer can have peace with God and know the peace of God here on earth. That wonderful prize, that blessing of the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Last Lord's Day morning, we looked at Leviticus chapter number 4, and that records and deals with the sin offering. And we saw there how Christ's sacrifice on the cross is sufficient to deal with man's old sinful, depraved nature and fallen nature before a holy God. And then here in the latter part of Leviticus chapter 5, and in these opening verses of Leviticus 6 from which we've read from this morning, we are told about the trespass offering. Our text says it is a trespass offering. He has certainly trespassed against the Lord. Now, dear people, this morning, the significance here of the trespass offering is that it shows and it tells of God's remedy for those who have transgressed God's law. In other words, those who have went beyond the perimeters or the parameters of what God's law commands and what God's law teaches. And that remedy is the person and the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. As the Bible says over in the book of the New Testament in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 3. There Christ died for our sins, or if you like, Christ died for our trespasses. And as we would look then at this trespass offering this morning, in our final message in this short series of the offerings of Leviticus, there are three things that I want you to note from the Word of God this morning. Notice first of all with me here the need for this trespass offering. If you look at the passage before, you'll see that God required this trespass offering for the person who had trespassed against the Lord, and also the person who had trespassed against man, or if you like, trespassed against his neighbor. Look at the beginning there of verse 15 of Leviticus chapter 5. It says, "If a soul commit a trespass and sin through ignorance in the holy things of the Lord." And these words refer there to a person trespassing against the Lord, as it says there, and the holy things of God, the things of God himself. This was something that even Moses himself, that great servant of God, was guilty of. He trespassed against the Lord. Turning your Bible over to Deuteronomy chapter number 32. And look with me, please, at the end of this chapter. Turning your Bible over to Deuteronomy 32. And to the verse number 48. I want to read down to the end of verse 51 just to get the picture in our hearts and minds. And here the Lord is speaking to Moses. It's near the end of Moses' life. And God was telling Moses how he would not enter into the promised land physically and the leading of the children of Israel. And there was a reason for this. Because he, as a Christian, he as a servant of God, he as a preacher of God's word, had trespassed against the Lord. Look at verse 48 of Deuteronomy chapter 32. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses that selfsame day, saying, Get thee up into this mountain Abiram, and unto Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, that is over against Jericho. And behold, the land of Canaan, which I have given unto the children of Israel for a possession. And die in the mount whither thou goest up, and be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother died in Mount Hor, and was gathered unto his people. Look at verse 51 now. God here is speaking directly to Moses, and there was none like Moses in the Old Testament. And he says, because ye trespassed against me among the children of Israel at the waters of Meribah Kadesh in the wilderness of Sin, because ye sanctified me not in the midst of the children of Israel. God says to Moses, ye trespassed against me. Why, there was an occasion when Israel had no water as they traveled through the wilderness to the promised land. And God told Moses how he was to speak to the rock. He was just to speak to the rock. That rock was Christ. And that God would send water. And you know the situation. Moses was provoked by the children of Israel. And Moses lost his temper with the children of Israel. And consequently the flesh got the upper hand of this great man of God. And instead of speaking to the rock as God had commanded him, we are told in the scriptures that Moses smote the rock. And in smiting the rock, he trespassed against the Lord. And thus he did not enter in, physically leading the children of Israel into the land of Canaan. God says, Moses, you're just to speak to this rock. But the flesh got the upper hand of Moses. And he smote the rock. He trespassed against the Lord and the holy things of God. Again, the Apostle Peter in the New Testament was guilty of the same thing. Of trespassing against the Lord as a Christian. As a disciple. As a follower of the Lord. You remember him in Gethsemane when the enemies of Christ came to apprehend the Lord. What did Peter do? He drew a sword. He took up a sword to defend Christ. And again there in that instance in the life of Peter, the flesh took over Peter. The flesh got the upper hand of Peter. And Christ rebuked him. And he said, put up again thy sword into its place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. What was Peter doing there? He was trying to do God's work man's way. He was trying to do God's work by the way of the flesh, by the way of man, by the way of the world. And child of God, this is what it means to trespass against the Lord and the holy things of God. It means you and I, as believers, trying to do God's work and the energy of the flesh, or by the way of man, or by the way of this world, some invention of this world, or by the way of the devil himself. And when we go down that road as believers, we trespass against the Lord in the holy things of God. Oh, believer, you and I are only to serve God His way. What is God's way? That way is set down before us in the Bible, in God's Word. It's the way of obedience unto the Lord. You remember what Mary said to the disciples at the wedding of Cana of Galilee. She spoke to them of Christ, their Savior, and she says, whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. In other words, obey the Lord in your service for God. Then again, think of the words of Christ to His disciples in John chapter 15. A great chapter about abiding in Christ and depending upon the Lord. He says, without me you can do nothing. And brethren and sisters in Christ, in all our service for God, we are to depend absolutely and entirely, not in our own strength or anything of the world or of man. We're to depend absolutely, entirely upon the Lord. Yes, there was this trespassing against the Lord in the holy things. But as well as trespassing against the Lord in the holy things, if you look again at the beginning of Leviticus chapter number 6 and verse number 2 and 3. You see as well there that mention is made of trespassing against man or against the neighbor. And this really speaks of our dealings with others as believers. How we deal with others in our life day by day as believers, as the people of God. You'll notice there at the beginning of verse 2. How mention is made of the trespass of unfaithfulness. In dealings with others. Look at verse number 2 of Leviticus 6. It says, if a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord, and a lie unto his neighbor in that which was delivered him to keep, or in fellowship. And that speaks of unfaithfulness in our relationships with others. Go further on down, verse 2 there, you see mention is made of the trespass of covetousness. For it says there in the middle part of verse 2, or in a thing taken away by violence. That speaks of covetousness, taking that which we desire for ourselves. Again, at the end of verse number 2, mention is made there of the trespass of deceit. For the Lord goes on to say, or have deceived thy neighbor, deception. Verse number 3, mention is made there of the trespass of untruthfulness. It says, or have found that which was lost and lieth concerning it, and sweareth falsely in any of all these things that a man doeth, sinning therein. And there God is outlining to Moses the matter of trespassing against the neighbor. And it speaks of how we deal with others, how we relate to others in our lives day by day as the people of God. Brethren and sisters in Christ, you and I were not to be unfaithful in all our relationships with others. We are to be faithful. And how important that is in the marriage bond, the union between husband and wife. Husbands are to be faithful to their own wives. Wives are to be faithful to their own husbands. Remember what the Lord says about that over in the book of Malachi chapter number 2. In the verses 15 and 16 he says, therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deem treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away. The Christian husband is to be faithful to his own wife. The Christian wife is to be faithful to her own husband. Nor are we to be covetous as God's people. The Bible says we are to be content. It says godliness with contentment is great gain. Nor are we to be deceitful in our dealings with others. We are to be honest. The Bible says to you and I as Christians, it says, laying aside all guile. We're to lay aside deception. And also we're not to lie. We're to be truthful in all our interactions with others. Remember the ninth commandment. The Lord says, thou shalt not bear false witness against me. But brethren and sisters in Christ, if we are unfaithful in some relationship with others, if we are covetous, if we are deceitful, if we are untruthful, then we trespass against our neighbor. And ultimately we trespass against the Lord. Thus we see something, dear people, of the need of this trespass offering. There's more time we could go on, but we don't have time. Time does not permit. Yes, the need there for the trespass offering. But notice secondly here this morning, notice the provision for the trespass offering. You look again at Leviticus chapter 5 and Leviticus 6. You'll see there that the provision for trespasses against the Lord and man, it was the same. It was to be a ram, a male sheep. It was to be without blemish. It was to be the very best of the flock. And the trespasser was to give this up to the priest, who in turn was to sacrifice it unto God. Look at the beginning there of verse 15 of Leviticus chapter 5. It says, and if a soul commit a trespass and sin through ignorance in the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flocks. Look at the beginning of verse 6 of the next chapter, and that concerns the matter of trespassing against the neighbor. It says, he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord a ram without blemish. Again, it's the same out of the flock. People, as you look at this ram here in this trespass offering, you see a picture. You see a type. You see an Old Testament foreshadowing of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Let me make it very clear this morning from this pulpit that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the one and the only provision for our trespasses against God and against man. The Lord Jesus Christ was one without blemish. You read about that in the New Testament. Peter describes him as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who did no sin. And my, in the cross of Calvary, in love and in grace and in mercy, what did the Lord Jesus Christ do? He gave himself to die as a sacrifice for our trespasses against God and our trespasses against man. What did Paul say about Christ in Romans chapter 5? He says, he was delivered for our offenses, for the offense of our trespasses against God and against man. What did Paul say of Christ in his letter to the Galatian believers? He said of Christ, who gave himself for our sins, for our trespasses against God and man. Turn in your Bible, please, over to Isaiah chapter 53. That great Old Testament chapter that is all about Christ and his work for his people on the cross. Go down to verse number 5 of Isaiah chapter 53 and look at these words. Isaiah here is speaking prophetically of Christ and his sacrifice upon the cross. And he says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. You could say there, he was wounded for our trespasses. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Look again at verse number 8, the final part of the chapter. It says, notice it, for the transgression, in other words, for the trespass of my people, of God's people, was he stricken and crucified upon the cross. Oh, friends, this morning, the only provision for your trespasses and for my trespasses against God and against man is the sacrifice of God's eternal Son. As it says in this little text behind this pulpit this morning, Christ crucified alone is the only remedy for our trespasses against God and against man. There's no other remedy to be found but in the sacrifice of Christ and him crucified. If you turn back again to Leviticus chapter number 5 and Leviticus number 6, you'll see here that this trespass offering was sufficient. I want you to see this. To blot out and to forgive trespasses against God and trespasses against man. Look at the latter part there of verse number 16 of Leviticus chapter 5. Look at what it says about the trespass offering in regard to trespasses against God. And the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering, and it shall be, notice it, forgiven him. Look at verse number 7, relation to trespasses against our neighbor. And the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord, and it shall be forgiven him for anything of all that he had done in trespassing therein. You look at that word atonement. That's a great Bible gospel word. Underline it in your Bible. What does the word atonement mean? It means literally to cover. To cover something up. Think of that word forgiven again, a great gospel word. What does the word forgiven mean? It means to pardon. And there we see how it is through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that sacrifice alone is sufficient. Notice it there, to atone, to cover all our trespasses that we've committed, to forgive all our trespasses against God and against man. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ is altogether complete and sufficient to do this. What does the Lord say about his own sacrifice in the book of Isaiah? He says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgression for mine own name's sake. What does it say about the blood of Christ over in 1 John? The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The hymn writer says, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone. Hallelujah. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Dear people, this morning in our meeting, can I say this? This is why the Roman Catholic Mass is such a terrible evil. This is why the Roman Catholic Mass is so shameful. And it is an evil. And it is a shame of all shames. Why? Because the Roman Catholic Mass, it implies that the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ
was not sufficient to atone for sin and trespasses, and was not sufficient to forgive and to blot them out before Almighty God.
You look again here at Leviticus chapter 5 and verse 6, you'll notice also that this trespass offering was valued. Valued by the man of God. Look at verse 15 of chapter 5 and verse 6 of chapter 6. And you'll notice a very important word there in those two verses. It is unique to this offering. It is the word estimation. Look at verse 15. It says, "Then he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flocks with thy estimation. By shekels of silver after the shekel of the sanctuary for a trespass offering." You have the same word in verse 6. It says, "And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, a ram without blemish out of the flock, with thy estimation for a trespass offering unto the Lord." What does that word estimation mean? It literally means to value, or if you like, to prize. This trespass offering was of great value here to the priest, who was God's man in this situation. He was God's representative. And my, that shows us, dear people, how the Lord God of heaven is one who values, who prizes the sacrifice and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary for the redemption of his people. What does it say of God and his dealings with his own son and the sacrifice upon the cross? In Isaiah 53, it says this of God: "It pleased the Lord to bruise him." God has valued. He's an infinite value upon the sacrifice of Christ upon the cross. Turn over to Philippians chapter 2. And you'll see an account of God's value upon the sacrifice of his son. He exalts Christ. Look at what you read there in Philippians chapter 2 and verses 6 to 11. Here, Paul is writing about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and how God values that sacrifice. He prizes that sacrifice. He says in verse 2 of Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, he says, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Look at verse 9. "Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." God prizes the sacrifice of Christ, that he has exalted him, and he has given him a name that is above every other name. Dear people of God, if God values Christ and his sacrifice upon the cross, then how much more do you and I, also believers, not need to value and to prize the sacrifice of Christ and to exalt the person and the work of Christ in our life and in our service for God, and to make much of the blood of Christ and all our witness and all our testimony for the Lord, and by living a life that is sold out for God, sold out for Christ, account of what Christ has done for us upon the cross of Calvary. Notice one final thought here, just in connection with this trespass offering. Notice the victory of the trespass offering. If you go back to Leviticus chapter 5, you see how in the case of the man who trespassed against the Lord, he was to give an extra fifth of the value of the trespass offering in silver unto the Lord. Look at the verse number 16. Notice what it says. "And he shall make amends for the harm that he hath done in the holy thing, and shall add the fifth part thereto, and give it unto the priest." And that is why the offering was initially estimated back in verse number 15, so that he could add an extra fifth of value in silver unto the Lord. And what does that teach us there? It shows us how in this trespass offering God himself was to gain. And it shows us something of the victory, dear people, of the trespass offering of Christ, because through that offering,
What does God gain? What does Christ gain? He gains a people for himself, a bride, a church, a people who will be part of an eternal revenue of praise unto God and unto Christ in heaven forevermore. Turning your Bible over to Revelation chapter number 7. And look at verse number 9 and verse number 10. And there you read of the church in heaven, part of that eternal revenue of praise to God and to Christ for his great work of redemption. Revelation 7 verses 9 and 10. It says, "And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands," verse 10, "and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and upon the Lamb." A child of God, you and I will be part of that group in heaven, eternally praising God because of what Christ has done for us as our trespass offering. Yes, God gains through this trespass offering, saving his bride, his church, gathering them unto himself in heaven to eternally praise the Lord. That's why it's good to sing God's praises in church on a Sunday morning, child of God, because in that you're going to be preparing yourself for what you're going to be doing forever in heaven, in that great eternal Sabbath when it comes, praising the Lord forever and ever. But also you'll notice here from Leviticus chapter 5 and Leviticus 6 that there was also gain for the man, the neighbor who had been trespassed against as well. Look at Leviticus chapter 6 verses 4 and 5. It says, "Then it shall be, because he has sinned and is guilty, that he shall restore that which he took violently away, or the thing which he had deceitfully gotten, or that which was delivered him to keep, or the lost thing which he found, or all that about which he hath sworn falsely. He shall even," notice it, "restore it in the principal, and shall add the fifth part more thereto, and give it unto him to whom it appertaineth in the day of his trespass offering." There you see how the person who had trespassed against his neighbor was to make abundant restitution to the neighbor that he had trespassed against. And the person who had been trespassed against was to gain here as well. And there we see something more, dear people, of the victory of Christ's trespass offering for his people. Because when a person is saved by faith in the sacrifice of Christ, God gives them grace. Grace that changes their life. Thus they seek to make amends for wrongs that they've done to others in the past. That's how it was with Zacchaeus. Remember when he was converted? He said to the Lord, "If I've taken anything from any man wrongly, I will restore to him fourfold." He was making restitution. The Bible says, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. All things are become new." It is a fact of history. And God moved in a mighty way in the 1920s and the 1930s, primarily through the preaching of W.P. Nicholson. Many of the workers in the shipyard were saved, were converted. These were men who prior to that had stolen equipment and tools from their owners, from the persons they'd worked with. And they sought to make amends. They sought to make restitution. And they brought back the equipment, the tools that they'd stolen to their employers. So it was that Harlan Ruth had to build a big warehouse to cater for the tools and the equipment that were being returned. You see, there was a change in these men's lives. There was restitution. They were making amends for wrongs done in the past. And brothers and sisters in Christ, when we are saved, we are to make restitution to any that we've wronged in the past. We are to make amends. We're to say sorry. We are to make an apology. That is something scriptural. We're always to do what is right before God and before others. We are to live a righteous life, now, a godly life before the world. And in Christ, brethren and sisters, you and I have abundant grace to do so. What does it say in the book of 2 Corinthians? "God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency may abound unto every good work." What was the testimony of the Apostle Paul
a blasphemer of God, a persecutor of the Christians, one who was injurious to the Church of Christ before he was saved. He could say, by the grace of God, I am what I am. We're singing that great hymn earlier on, Grace Turn My Wandering Feet, to tread the heavenly road and new supplies each hour I meet, while pressing on to God. O believer in Christ, they thank God for Christ, your trespass offering. Thank God for Christ, bearing the wrath for our trespasses. Rejoice in Christ today as your trespass offering. Make him known to others today that he is your trespass offering. And by God's grace, day by day, may you and I as believers seek to live for the glory of Christ, the one who paid the debt of our trespasses in full upon the cross of Calvary. May God bless his word and his truth to all our hearts and our souls today. Amen.